I want to start this episode by saying that I am using content which was proffed from the internet. I also want to say that I do not hate anybody in particular. I do not hate Americans. I do not hate Muslims. I'm just doing this so you can understand a mindset. Thank you.
Donald J. Trump is calling for a total and complete shutdown of Muslims entering the United States until our country's representatives can figure out what the hell is going on. We have no choice. 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 We have no
choice. I am an animal. So it kind of frightens me to hear something like that. And listen, hey, it could have been anybody, but it was Donald Trump. This past week, and that's a very dangerous thing to say. How about saying this? How about I don't want Irish people to come into the UK mainland because they're linked to the Irish Republican Army or the Provisional IRA or the OIRA, the CAIRA, the RIRA, whatever. How does that make you feel? Because I can guarantee you right now, Paul O'Mahony and probably Bernie Goldback aren't too happy to hear me say that. But let me just say this right now. That was said just for effect, just to see how people feel when they hear something that's a bit closer to home. I don't believe that you can say something like, let's ban all Muslims from insert country, because I don't think that's the right way about it. I do not think all Muslims want to. I don't think all Muslims want to kill the infidels. And I say that in a nice way, because in the Islamic faith, an infidel is someone who doesn't believe in that faith. Infidel meaning unbeliever. Well, there you go. You see, here we're going on about religion again, and I'm not going to get into the religion argument, but it's the religion side of it that's causing it and to an extent fueling it. But my point about all of this is, how the hell do you say I'm banning a certain type of person from entering a country? Well, I don't think that's fair, is it? Because not every Muslim is a believer in what I'm going to call them, Daesh. I'm not going to call them ISIS or ISIL. I'm going to call them Daesh. I don't believe that every Muslim has the same beliefs as Daesh. And just in exactly the same way as I think not every Irishman is a supporter of the Irish Republican Army, or Northern Irish person who's a supporter of the Ulster Defence Force, or the Ulster Volunteer Force, or the Red Hand Commandos. These people are physically fighting in any way they can, usually very underhand tactics to get their point of view across. This is what terrorists do. That's the only thing they know. That's the only thing they know. Personally, I couldn't give a rat's backside. I couldn't give a rat's backside about any of these people, because I am actually sick to death of it now. And, you know, I was, when I was researching in what to say, I just got drowned, absolutely drowned in the utter tosh arguments between, you know, people wanting this way and people wanting that way. Britain first. Britain first, you quite literally have not got a clue, and you are racist bigots. You know, if you do some research about Britain first, you will see that they do incite racism. You could easily delete those two words, Britain first, and insert Nazism, because it is virtually exactly the same concept. They're going on about, we want Britain for British people and for Christian values. Well, hang on. Okay, I am British, but do I call myself a Christian? Look, I was brought up in a kind of religion, but, you know, I have my own views about faith and God and the Bible and the Quran and all of the stories and all of the morals that go with it. Because the fact of the matter is, you know, unless there is absolute proof that any of their stories were fact, then I don't believe anything. Do you know what? I believe in me. That's what it's all about. And I believe in being a better person. I believe in justice. I believe in telling those people who are wrong that they are wrong. And look, I don't want now to get into the very, very complicated topics of, you know, what is right and what is wrong. Look, just let's live our lives. Let's just do our job and go home. Oh, and then you go on working for, oh, well, the government's all just a conspiracy anyway. It's there for control of the people. And, you know, then you've got other groups like Freemen of the Land and the Scottish Sovereigns. And hey, that's nothing about Scottish people. The Scottish Sovereigns have the same kind of morals and values as Freemen of the Land. And, oh, for goodness sake, a lot of our laws that we have created by and passed through governments are there for safety reasons. You know, somebody does something that's wrong, and you know, we have to put something in the mix to say, look, you've done wrong and you shouldn't have done that. But then you go on talk about these things like, oh well, what is right and wrong? It's so complicated. And am I detracting from the subject somewhat? Not really, because this is where the conversation goes, isn't it? This is what happens. You talk about Muslim men of fighting ages as being targeted by people like Britain First and the English Defence League for no other reason than they are between the ages of 12 and 50. You know, they have an Asian appearance and a long beard. Well, let me tell you this. I am not going to feel frightened about my Muslim Turkish barber cutting my hair or using his cutthroat razor to make a very, very perfect job. Because what you're saying is that that man cannot come into this country to cut my hair. He does a good job and he works hard and he earns a lot of money. And I have absolutely nothing for respect for him and his brothers who own a fantastic barbers in the next town down from us. Quite frankly, I'm just sick of it. I am absolutely sick of it. And then we go on about, is it right or wrong to send British fast jets and bombers into foreign lands to bomb the terrorists in their homeland? Is it right or is it wrong? It's so hard. But then we get hold of all of these keyboard warriors that think, you know, they think they know what they're talking about. They haven't got a clue what they're talking about. I'm talking about probably people who are listening to this. Oh, I don't think we should have gone to Syria to bomb them. Well, I'm just playing the devil's advocate in this part of the conversation. The question that's got to be asked is, what do the British government know that forces their hand in sending bombers to a foreign country to bomb so-called terrorists? Hey, I'm playing devil's advocate here. I'm not agreeing with any side. This is the other part of the conversation for all of these people that I see on the interwebs who say we shouldn't be doing it. Okay then, okay. Put it the other way around then. Why have we got to send our bombers to a foreign country to go and bomb people? And, you know, David Cameron is saying, oh, well, you know, with our precision-guided missiles and bombs, collateral damage will be severely reduced, because that was the fear, wasn't it? We'd be bombing civilians, so now they're putting a spin on it. So why do we have to send them across there? Why don't we start defending ourselves here? Are we talking about self-defense in the context of a preemptive strike is self-defense, because that is what David Cameron has said. He's doing it for self-defense. You can't argue that, because he said it in government. He said it in Prime Minister's questions 2-3 weeks ago. But why do we have to send them across there? Why can't we just build up our own defenses and intelligence networks in this country? And you know, you're spending the money that's being used up to send British troops across there, and the mode that they're being across there. You're spending money doing that, and you're also spending £500,000 a day dropping bombs on people who are apparently nothing to do with the Daesh ideology. So want to argue more about the rights and wrongs of things? Yeah, I do, actually. Gun crime, gun laws. I am absolutely fascinated by this thing in America. It's been going on for years, hasn't it? About the right to possess, whether in material possession or otherwise, a gun, a weapon system, a rifle, pistol, whatever it might be, and also to carry it, and also to carry it on you. I'm mesmerized by this. I don't know what the argument is. If there are guns, they're going to be used. It's as simple as that. Because what's the gun? Hey, I am not comparing America to any other country, and I'm not comparing us to America here. That's not what I'm talking about. But we're talking about people who think it's all right to carry guns. Well, let me tell you this. Let's make this quite simple. Okay, in Germany, and a lot of other European countries, except for the UK, of course. But in Germany, you go into a pub or a gastro pub, and you when you order your drinks, your drinks, alcoholic or non-alcoholic, whatever, will be served to you, and the waitress or waiter will mark on your beer mat what you've been drinking. And at the end of the night, you take your beer mat to the till and you pay for your drinks. And there's never a problem in Germany with that. If you lose your beer mat or it's destroyed for whatever reason, then there's this common understanding that you have to pay a nominal fee of, I don't know, however much it is. Couldn't you see that happening in England or the UK in general? It will never, ever happen. Why? Because we cannot trust our population to be that honest. What's going to happen if we opened up gun shops in the UK? We absolutely cannot trust our general public to uphold the laws of gun possession. Now, we do have gun laws in our country, because you can possess certain firearms with a firearm license. And yes, we do have legitimate problems with people who have legitimately applied for a license and purchased a firearm and have done silly things with the firearm thereafter. Okay, it happens. Okay, what if we open that up to, let's have a gun shop, and let's have laws like they do in the US. Like, let's have laws about what type of person can apply for a firearm, because they do have very stringent firearm laws in the States and application processes, and they are, and I actually respect them for that. But what if you got someone like me with a mental disorder after the fact? Would I surrender my firearm? or would I just decide not to take my antidepressants and decide to stay up all night, not having a sleep, feel like crap in the morning, and go and shooting the person who I hate first? Because that happens. So if we had gun shops in the UK, our gun crime would just go through the roof. It really would. You cannot say that it wouldn't. Right, I'm going to finish off there and stop whinging. I just want to end, though, with the fact that in September this year, I had a fantastic opportunity, which I took up, to go to the United States of America, and I loved every single second of it. And I loved it for a couple of reasons, but the main reason was the people. The people were nice to me because I was British and I was a novelty. I understand that, but the general feeling of well-being, generosity, kindness, and above all, probably the most polite people I have ever met in my life. I take all of those things, and I would move tomorrow to the United States of America. So this absolutely wasn't it wasn't a rant about the USA at all. It's just things that are being said and things that are being done. And look, if I want to rubbish my own country here, I think that governments in this country have been and continue to be very divisive. They bend the truth, and you will, as we all know, you will never hear a politician answer a question.
According to Pew Research, among others, there is a great hatred toward Americans by large segments of the Muslim population.